Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, August 14th, 2015. And with me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me.
It's really great to have you here. It's also really great to have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am good this morning. It's nice to be back. Took a little time off, and it's great to be back in the seat again.
Yeah, it was really quiet without you around here. We did go through your desk drawers, took your red stapler.
Oh, no. I love that stapler.
Yeah, well, it's okay.
You're in trouble because I have this app called Find My Stapler.
Yeah, well, you're going to find it in the fridge. We put it in Jell-O.
You know, if that app had existed in the mid-90s, it would have saved that fictitious office building from burning down.
It totally would have, actually. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I know that we do have listeners right now that are like, Jeff, you just mixed two different shows together. And yes, I did.
Yes, we did.
Yep. Hey, we also have a sponsor this week, Casper, the mattress company, which is totally awesome. We'll talk about them soon. But before we get to how awesome their mattresses are, I think we should talk a little bit about Apple TV and the news that the unannounced streaming television service that's supposed to go along with that isn't going to happen this year. Or at least that's what we're hearing now.
You know, this gives me so much heartburn. I am just full of rant on this. For a long, long time now, I have been greatly annoyed that Apple has not released a new Apple TV, because we know it's been years. I mean, my second generation was bought in 2011. The last update was generation 3 in 2012. It's time for a new Apple TV. It's time for new hardware. It's time for apps. It's time for a 4K device. It's time for Apple to ship the hardware and let everybody jump on the bandwagon. The apps will come. The services will come. The subscription plan will come. Just give us new hardware. But no, Apple delayed it, apparently, from WWDC. They probably knew they were going to get into some difficulties with these delicate, tense, difficult negotiations with content holders and the networks. Comcast is still, of course, holding out because they don't want the competition. And so it would have been sensible for Apple, as our favorite hardware company, to just, if I may say it, ship the darn hardware. But they've been delaying, and now the report says that, you know, they may not have content deals until 2016, and so it's probably going to greatly grieve them to ship a new generation 4 Apple TV without this agreement. But look how many people are anxious to have new hardware, and even if people have bought Apple third generation Apple TVs in the last couple years, it's so cheap that they're going to jump on the bandwagon anyway and buy new hardware, especially if it has 4K capability. Oh, heaven help us, I hope they do that, because if they don't, it's going to be a disaster. So as you can see, my dander's up a little bit.
Don't hold back, John. How do you really feel?
I have a couple of things to say about this.
Okay.
First of all, this goes without saying, and it will be said anyway, of course, all of this is speculation, right?
Yes.
Apple has said nothing. In fact, the only thing Apple has said to us about the future of Apple TV has been this mantra that they have not repeated recently, that Apple TV is a hobby, right? And it's an interesting hobby, and we're interested in it. But they, you know, and of course, then we got some telegraphing of future things when they put on their website back in over the winter, and it's still there. They said it at an event, you know, Apple TV prices starting at, right, indicating that perhaps there's something more coming and you know, enhancements to the product line.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in phase two of the rumors, definitely.
I think it's all true. You're right, and I think all the delays have been for the reasons that we're all speculating, but I don't. I think it's good that they are separating, assuming that this latest rumor is true, that they're separating the hardware from the announcement, because they're getting their butts kicked. Even if you just leave the Apple TV as it exists without the content deals or the, you know, the additional content deals, there's plenty of content deals on it right now. But of course, the big ones aren't there. But they're getting their butts kicked by Roku, right?
And Dan, last week, Dan Morin, I mentioned in Particle Debris that Dan Morin mentioned that he has dropped his Apple TV and he's moved to Fire TV. Wow.
Yeah. Well, they're getting their butts kicked, and Apple can't do the things that we all want them to do. Again, setting the content deals aside, we all want third-party apps on the Apple TV, right? You know, mm-hmm. that would make this box so much more powerful. And you just can't do it with the hardware that's there. I mean, I think you could in a very limited sense, but you'd be able to install a few apps and then it would just max out.
What does it have, an A4 or an A5? I forget.
I think it's the amount of RAM and storage that's
probably
the issue.
Probably, oh yeah.
Right?
That too.
Right.
Yeah, but there's some things that just need to be done in terms of a hardware refresh because things have evolved since the third gen Apple TV. So yes, they need new hardware. Hopefully that new hardware comes with an actual ecosystem that allows third-party apps in there. It does run iOS, that we know. So hopefully that these developers won't be too difficult. In fact, I would assume that some of the more preferred developers are probably already working on this under, you know, Apple often brings developers into their offices and gives them space to work so that they can play with these new devices without letting these new devices out into the wild. So I think all that's going to work out.
It must have 4K support too. And if it doesn't have 4K support, I'm going to go on a single-minded crusade.
Yeah, I think you might be the single mind on that crusade. I don't... you set it up, John. I'm not convinced that the lack of 4K is a disaster for them.
Yes, it would be a disaster because it's going to be a 4K Christmas. Everybody's on the bandwagon. Ultra HD Blu-ray has now been certified and products are going to start shipping. The other guys, you know, are going to jump on the bandwagon. As soon as Apple's a laggard, everybody else is going to upgrade their systems to have 4K TV, and Apple's going to look like a doofus. It's just going to be a bad scene, and Apple's going to look bad. They're going to look like the IBM of the 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess so. You're right. From a marketing standpoint, it matters. I honestly am not convinced that from a quality / viewing standpoint, it matters. I think it's 3D TV all over again.
Dave, no. 4K is not 3D all over again. I beg to differ, sir.
You know,
do you have a 4K capable TV, John?
I will at Christmas.
Okay. Where have you watched a 4K TV such that you're convinced that the extra resolution matters?
In Best Buy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done it several times. I've done it three times. I've done it in Albuquerque with friends, and I've done it several times here in Denver. And I look at the 4K TV and I go, yeah. Of course, I have a technical problem. I bought
a plasma television.
I bought a Denon receiver that does not handle 1080p. So my Apple TV is generation 2. It's 720p. It pipes the 720p into the Denon. The Denon transfers the 720p to the TV, which upscales, but upconverts to 1080p.
Yep.
And so I've got all this transition process. Now, my DVR from DirecTV is 1080i. So it ships the 1080i up to the TV and it upconverts it to 1080p. So I'm not getting the best possible experience with my current high definition system. So I'm ready to jump to 4K anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. So you're going to see a difference there just because you're not maxing out the capabilities of what you currently have. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I get that. I'm not convinced that it's going to matter. And here's why. I think in many cases, the difference between 480p and 720p, it doesn't matter. It does for live action stuff, right? Things that are not produced in a way where you're really smoothing out the signal, right? Live sports, it's pretty raw. To say it's not produced, of course, is wrong. But it's not there's no color shifting and correction that it's built to be very sharp and very naked, if you will. Mm-hmm. Most movies, however, are not built to be very naked. They're built to be smoothed out. The colors tend to be matched and in many cases subdued in a way that sets a mood for the movie. And a lot of times, yes, if you're standing right there at the screen, you certainly can tell the difference between 480p and 720p. But once you kind of lose yourself in the movie after 5 minutes, there's no difference.
Well, the big problem, Dave, is the big problem is not that. It's the big problem is the 5:4 telescene process.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Converting 24 frames per second to 60 frames per second.
Yeah, 30 or 60. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I while I think it's great that we have 720 and 1080p, and certainly the quality is easy to see, I'm not convinced that the change from 1080p up to 4K is going to matter for most people. I think people will buy it because we as a culture say that, you know, higher numbers are better. But I'm not convinced that it's going to matter to most people. They can tell the difference. It's far more of a perceptible difference as opposed to, like, you know, this whole thing with, you know, 24-bit sound being better. And it's like, well, only for dogs, but sure. So it's not that, right? I mean, it's not like they're saying you need infrared data being spit from your TV because it makes it feel better. Yeah, if you like to bake.
What I consider is that with a 4K system, you can still watch 1080p TV. And so, like, any transition process from DVD to Blu-ray or from you know, PowerPC to Intel Max, there is this blending period where you get the best of both. And you'll still be able to watch all your 1080p stuff great, and there'll be upscalers. But when the occasion arises and you want to watch something in great video, like your favorite Bourne movie or something like that, then you can go out and buy the Ultra HD version of the movie and have or download from Netflix in 4K and have a lot of fun with that too. So it's a transition, not an absolute.
Yeah, no, it's a transition. I'm just not convinced that in the end we're stuck with something that matters to most people. But well, you know, it probably
with the whole industry trying to move to 4K though. It would be Apple would be exhibiting a grave slap in the face to the rest of the industry and saying, no, we're not going to play with you guys. We don't think it's important.
Very
true. That would be bad politically too.
Yep.
Hey, as much as I would love to keep letting you guys go back and forth about 4K TV, I want to talk about beds. And we have a sponsor this week, which I believe I have mentioned, Casper, the mattress company. And I'm a very, very happy Casper mattress user. I've been sleeping on mine for like a year now, and it has made a big difference in my sleep patterns. And that's saying a lot because I've had very bad sleep patterns. And so when I find something that gives me a very tangible improvement in my sleeping patterns, I'm really excited about that. And that's what my Casper mattress did for me. I'm really happy with this thing. So what they do is they figured out the right types of foam to put together to make a foam mattress. And instead of something where you lay down in it and it's like the face hugger from Alien, but for your whole body, it actually just really supports your body. But it's not too stiff, so you don't feel like you're on boards. So it has the right amount of give, the right amount of spring, no matter what you're doing. And it doesn't get too hot. It's like someone really sat down or laid down and thought about how we use our beds, and then put together a mattress that accommodates those things. And it's absolutely wonderful. I also love that they don't charge nearly as much as competitors do for mattresses. I have the queen size model. That's $850. If you went to a store to buy the same or a comparable mattress, because you can't buy these in stores, buy a comparable mattress, that's going to set you back $1,000, maybe more, depending on what you're getting. And I love that I didn't have to pay that kind of money to get a really good mattress. And even better for you guys, you can get whichever size mattress you want from Casper for $50 off. So what you need to do is go to their website. It's casper.com/TDO. And from there, you just pick out the mattress you want. They'll take $50 off the price, and they're going to mail it to you, and they're not even going to charge you shipping, which is a beautiful, wonderful thing. When you get this, you open up a box, which I believe uses Time Lord technology, and the mattress comes out. The box, I believe, is bigger on the inside. And like 5 minutes later, you can be on your bed sleeping. It's a wonderful thing. Absolutely love my mattress. And if And if a mattress like this can make that much of a difference for someone like me that doesn't sleep well, imagine what it can do for someone like you that actually can sleep well. It's going to be a magical experience. So go pick yours up, figuratively speaking, of course. Order it. Casper.com/TDO. And thank you, Casper, for being our sponsor this week. Okay, the other thing that I wanted to look at to wrap up the week, well, things actually, a couple tips that we just ran actually this morning, and I loved both of them. One is for people that are running iOS 9 now or will be when it's out of beta, and the other is for people that want to take better photographs with their iPhone. So they're both iPhone tips. The first one is from Melissa Holt. She writes so many wonderful tips for us. I'm so glad she's on our staff. She wrote a tip explaining how you can use the new battery monitoring feature in iOS 9 beta to have a much better perspective on exactly what applications are sucking down your battery. So we've been able to go into settings, general usage, battery usage, and then see how much of the battery the various apps that we've been running over the past day or is it 72 hours or week? I can't remember.
I think it's the past week.
Okay, so past week. And that way you can get a good idea about what apps are not playing fair with your battery. But now, in iOS 9, when you go in there, there's a third little button, and it looks like a clock. And when you tap on that, now you can see exactly what it is that the apps are doing when they're sucking on your battery.
In the background.
Also. In the background, yeah.
Yeah.
So you can tell which apps are not good citizens for power usage. In a much better way than we can in iOS 8. And I just think that's really cool.
Yeah, it's going to put some pressure on developers. They're being exposed.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. I mean, yes, listen, developers absolutely have had access to this type of data for a very long time. There's an app called Instruments that you can get as part of, or comes as part of Xcode, which is the development environment that you use to develop this stuff. And you as a user can get Xcode too. And run Instruments, and in fact, you can actually run an activity monitor for your iOS device by running Instruments, and that can be very handy for diagnosing problems because you get to see a whole lot more in real time than you do with even with kind of some of those third party apps that show you stuff on your phone. But yeah, to your point, it's good that the public gets to see at least sort of the aggregate of this data and the impact of it, because it does put the pressure on developers to pay attention to this stuff if they haven't been already. Facebook, we're looking at you.
Yes, we are. Yes. Yeah, so that's really cool. Okay, the other cool thing, this one came from Kelly Gumont, and Kelly writes a bunch of awesome stuff, including some great tips. This is something that she showed us when we were all out on TMO summer camp. And we were all trying to take pictures of the clouds up around Breckenridge because it was sunset and it was just awesome. And our photos weren't coming out well. And so Kelly, what she did was she took off her sunglasses and held her sunglasses in front of the iPhone camera lens and then took her shot. And it came out amazing. And the difference being that her sunglasses filtered out the glare that was making the other photos we were taking look kind of burned out.
They were probably polarized too, which helps a lot.
Yep.
Olaclipse sells a polarizing filter as part of their family of macro and telephoto lenses.
Yeah, and that works really well.
It does.
Yeah. But let's say you don't have any lenses with you, but you have your sunglasses.
You always have them with you.
There you go. I thought that was just a brilliant thing. And one of those things that as she's doing it, I did the virtual head smack and thought, how is it possible this never occurred to me before? So anyhow, you have a really great filter lens with your iPhone all the time because you're probably wearing your sunglasses. So what an awesome tip. Thank you for that, Kelly.
I've used that so many times since she showed us that just a month and a half ago. And I showed my family and they were like, oh, this is awesome. And it does. It's not always the answer, but it is a filter that you have with you all the time. So don't forget to try and use it.
So right. Now we need a Kickstarter project for iPhone sunglasses so that they clip on nicely and work well.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
That's what we need.
But you know,
that's right. What we need, John.
You know somebody will dream it up.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Hey, we're out of time. So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, missed you while you're gone. And John, thank you for being here today. I missed you while you were gone, too.
Glad to be back. Great.
Yeah, it was awesome to have both of you here. Casper, thank you for being our sponsor this week. It's great to have you guys around because I'm sleeping better than I used to. Head over to their website, casper.com/TDO. Get yourself $50 off an amazing mattress. They're absolutely wonderful, really. I say that from experience. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again next week.